How often have we said it ourselves? How often have we heard someone else say it? Or read it somewhere? That's not fair. Hear it all the time. The more you're around kids, the more you hear it. And what do the parents or the teachers or whoever adults are around always tell the kid? Well, life's not fair. And certainly, there are a lot of things about life that are not fair. But some things are fair in a certain way. There are certain things that we can depend on, we can count on. We know that God is a just judge. We know that He will be fair. What we sometimes don't understand is what His standard of fairness is compared to what we think the standard of fairness ought to be. On one occasion, a criminal was getting off on a technicality. And the judge, knowing what the law was and knowing that he had to let this criminal go, but also knowing good and well that this fellow was guilty of the crime and that he was only getting off on a technicality, he wept. And then he let the fellow go by after saying, "I am bound by the law, and so I must release you today, but I want you to know that at the end of time, there will be a judgment with a judge who is going to be just. And he is bound only by his own rules of justice and not by the law of this courtroom today." I don't know what that criminal thought of that, whether the criminal cared as long as he was getting off. He may not have cared why he was getting off. But it should have made that young man think about that judge that he was going to have to face in the future. And he wasn't going to have a tricky defense lawyer who was going to find loopholes in the law of the American that had been written by all of the Congresses throughout time to try to get him off. Romans chapter 2, as we often say, it's unfair. Oh, it's not fair. How come this is happening? I don't deserve this and all these things. And as we're doing that, so many times we'll see that we are not really being treated unfairly. If anything, we're often turned out better than what we should have gotten. I remember when Willie asked about all the last five presidents and who they were, and it got me thinking about when Bill Clinton was president, and there was a little scandal. I say little. I guess it was a pretty big scandal with Monica Lewinsky. And folks were just yelling and screaming about how bad that was, what he did, and how he ought to be kicked out of office and everything. And then it wasn't a few days after they were hollering and screaming about it that they come to find out they were doing the same thing. And it kind of made all their voices hollering about how he shouldn't have been doing it sound kind of ridiculous, didn't it? Well, who are you to be saying he shouldn't do it? You're doing the same thing. And that's a little bit of what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 2. We might say, the old expression, that's the pot calling the kettle black. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing." You know, we find somebody that's committed some crime, and we think they get off too easy. And we say, oh, they're getting away with it. And sometimes we're guilty of some things that we've gotten away with too. What we've got to remember is we're not going to get away with it forever. Whatever we think we're getting away with now, or maybe we don't even think we're getting away with it. Maybe we think it's just perfect. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. It is amazing how many innocent people I've met in jail. How about it, Doc? When you work in the prison, how many of those fellows are innocent? One guy admitted he was guilty. All the rest of them, they're all innocent. We shouldn't need any jails with all these innocent folks running around. They're not guilty. They're never guilty. And we do the same thing. Yeah. Yeah, they can tell you who all should have been put in there instead of them. But there's a lot of us, we're guilty too of things. Now we miss it. Well, I never killed anybody, so I didn't kill anybody. But we've got to remember that God's standards are not the same as our standards. Remember that Jesus said, if you're angry at your brother without cause, then you've already committed murder in your heart. He tells the men that if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. You see, God uses a different set of standards than we do, and yet we try to judge ourselves by our own standards. And in other cases, we may judge ourselves by one set of standards and judge other people by a different set of standards. We call that a double standard. If I go in the store and I'm wanting to buy something and they sell it by weight, then I want to make sure I get my money right. I want to make sure that those scales are right and that they're not cheating me. But if I'm on the other side and I'm trying to sell somebody something, you see, in the Old Testament, God talked about that with those people. He said, you shall not have divers weights. In other words, you don't have two different sets of weights. One for when you're buying it. And see, those weights are heavy. So that it looks like, you put this 1 pound weight on there and it really weighs 2 pounds. So you get 2 pounds of food on there, of grain or whatever it was that you buy it before it levels out. And you say, okay, well, that's 1 pound. And then when it comes time to sell the grain, you put the other pound, and it says it's a pound, but it's really only a half a pound. And you put it on there, and so you put a half a pound of food on there and say, okay, well, there's 1 pound. And you sell it to the fellow. You see, they did that kind of thing. Shouldn't surprise us. People do that kind of thing today. God knew about it way back then, and He knew it wasn't right back then, and He knows it's not right today. We say, well, that doesn't affect me. I'm not involved in that. Okay, good. But there are other areas where we are involved with things, where we will look at our own selves and judge by our motives. We say, well, you know, I was trying to do what's right. I had the right heart. My intentions were good. But we may, even with those good intentions, that right heart and trying to do right, you know, as we say, as we're judging ourselves, we still did things that we shouldn't have done, and we still said things we shouldn't have said, and we still mistreated other people. But then we turn around, and if somebody else says something to us, we don't consider what their motive might have been, or whether their heart was right, or whether it was a slip of the tongue, or whether they didn't mean it or whatever. No. I can't believe they say that to me. They're horrible. What a terrible person they are to say something like that to me. See, we judge ourselves by our motives, but we judge somebody else by their actions, and we don't even give them the benefit of the doubt of what their motives might have been, that they might have had good motives, might have been honorable motives, but they just didn't come across the right way. You see, that's a double standard too, and we do that kind of thing. You condemn yourself when you judge another when you're doing the same things. One of the things that we have to remember is that when God calls on us and says, you're a sinner and you need my forgiveness, He doesn't say, well, you know, you're not a very bad sinner, so you don't need much forgiveness. And that guy over there, he's a really bad sinner. He needs a lot of forgiveness. The fact of the matter is, just one sin is all it takes to become a sinner. And I guarantee we, all of us who are of the age of accountability, have committed more than one way or another. But we often weight things. We say, well, this is a worse sin than that. And God doesn't look at it that way. But let's look at a few things now. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. But I just want us to think about our concept of what fair is. Put yourself in this position. You get hired on a job. You go out to dig ditches in the middle of the August summertime. Maybe some of you might remember going out to pick cotton in the middle of the hot summertime. Or to hoe the row in the middle of the hot summer. You may remember, so, you know, you're out there doing a hot day's work, and you started at sun up. And you notice as you're working along, that along about 9 in the morning, some more folks show up and start working. And then you notice that after lunch, some more folks show up and start working. And then you notice down in the evening, about 6 o'clock, some more folks show up and start working. And then the sun starts to set. And you go to get your pay. And you get 25 cents. Been a long time ago since folks got 25 cents for a day of work. But you get 25 cents. Now that was a day's wage at the time. And then you notice that some of the fellas that didn't show up till after supper time got 25 cents too. Is that fair? All right, right. Wait a minute, I worked all day. They didn't work but a couple of hours. Why are they getting paid the same thing I am? Is it fair? Jesus said it was. Jesus said that was fair. That the fella had made arrangements with the one group to pay them that set wage for the day, and they agreed to it. And they didn't have a problem with what they were getting paid, but they were jealous and envious of the other fella for what he was getting paid. You know, I found as I talked to people about money and about wages, almost without fail, and I haven't run across anybody to contradict this yet. I'm sure there's somebody out there that could contradict it. But everybody I talk to, they always are being underpaid for the work they do. And everybody else out there is always getting overpaid for the work they do. And that's the way it seems like it goes. I'm not getting paid. I work so hard, and I don't get paid enough. Oh, look at that. He's not working near hard. And look how much he gets paid. Now, this really shows up in the places where folks make a lot of money. And this is pertinent to what's going on in our country right now. Everybody's complaining, well, the CEOs, they make too much money. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm not doing their job. Well, those fellas, they just play football or baseball or basketball. All they do, they just play a game. They're getting all that money. They get too much money. Can you do what they're doing? We sometimes have a tendency to want to always look for... That's not fair. That's not fair. That's what those workers in that vineyard were doing. They're saying, it's not fair. Jesus, in the parable, the response of the owner who had hired them, his response, first response was, didn't you agree to work for that amount? Sure did. They agreed to it. So what's their complaint? Their complaint is not what they agreed to. Their complaint is that the other guy got paid more than they thought he should have. What the other guy worked out between the boss was his business, though. The second thing Jesus says is, isn't it lawful for me to do what I will with my own money? Now, in our society today, the answer to that question would be no. It's not. They got all sorts of laws about what you can and can't do with your money, and especially when it comes to hiring practices. The story Jesus tells about that vineyard owner, that would have never flown in today's society. He'd have been lawsuits. He'd have been in court for the rest of his life. Probably would have been out of business. He would have had to mortgage his farm and sold it to somebody else to pay the court costs, because those fellows would have taken him to court. But what Jesus says is, when somebody owns something, then it's their right to do with it what they want to do with it. And if he hired this fellow and said, I'm going to pay you this much, and he hired this fellow and said, I'm going to pay you this much, then it's none of this person's business what that person makes. But we don't like that. We don't think that's fair. See, God said that's fair. What about the parable Jesus tells of the wise and foolish virgins? Remember these? There were 10 virgins. They were waiting for the groom to arrive for the wedding. 5 of them brought their lamps and had the oil that was in their lamps. The other 5 brought their lamps and the oil that was in their lamps, and they brought some extra oil. Well, the groom didn't make it on time. I don't know, his horse blew out a hoof, something. He was running late. Threw a shoe, had to get it reshoed. I don't know what happened. He just doesn't tell us. But they were late. So they fell asleep, and then the cry came, here he comes. So the 5 that were wise get up, and they start, gotta refill my, put some more oil in my lamp. I was burned out while I was waiting. The other 5 that were foolish, their lamps burned out while they were waiting too, but they didn't bring any extra with them. That meant they were out. So what did they say? Hey, you have extra oil, share yours with me. Is that fair? We say, yeah, you can share it. But Jesus says the 5 wise virgins said no, because if we share ours with you, we may not have enough for us and to share it with you too. You need to go out and buy your own. And so they went out. And while they were gone, then the bridegroom come. They shut the doors and they come back and banging on the door, let us in. And he said, I don't know who you are. Of course, Jesus tells the story to tell that, you know, that we've got to be prepared for his return. He's just talked about the coming of the Son of Man in Matthew 24. And now he said, you know, we've got to be prepared for his return. And of course, when it comes to righteousness, I can't share mine with you anyway. I can't, you know, you can't share yours with me. We've each got to stand on our own. But the principle that he gets out of that, still he tells the story. And he says the 5 that were wise actually refused to share. How could you not share? Well, their reasoning was sound. They said, if we give you some of ours, then we won't have enough. Now, there are times when we have more than enough and we can share. And the Bible tells us to be ready to share when we have the opportunity. But there are times where by our sharing, we may actually put our own household, our own family, who it's our responsibility to care for and provide for, in danger of not having enough. And if we do that, the Bible says the one who does not provide for those of his own household is worse than an infidel. If I go out and buy everybody else's groceries and pay everybody else's light bill, and then my lights get cut off and my family doesn't have enough groceries to make it through the end of the week or the end of the month or whatever my pay period is, and I can't take care of my own family, was that a wise thing to do? Was it fair for them to expect me to take care of them when I didn't have enough then to take care of my own family? No, that wasn't fair. See, sometimes we have an idea about what's fair. That's not the same as what God's idea of what's fair is. God said it was perfectly fair for those wise virgins who came prepared to say, no, you should have come prepared. You didn't come prepared. And then we think about David and Bathsheba's baby. We talked about that this morning. Was it fair for the baby to die when the baby hadn't done anything wrong? That's not fair. Apparently God thought it was fair. God thought it was the best solution to the situation that David and Bathsheba had gotten into. And David came to agree with God on that. He wept and mourned and begged God to save that baby's life. But after the baby did die, he got up and washed his face and went to eat. And they were shocked. He said, well, I thought while the baby was still alive that God might change his mind. But now that the baby's dead, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to go to him, but he'll never return to me. We have to think about more than just this physical realm if we're going to understand God's concept of fairness. What about when God sent the Israelites into the land of Canaan and he said, you kill the men and the women and the children, even the little babes that are still suckling. He even told them to kill all the animals. Don't live anything that's breathing, kill it. Is that fair? All those innocent children? Yes, it was fair. Not only was it fair, it was the best thing that could have happened to those little innocent children. You say, what? How could that be the best? Those little innocent children were killed. That was the best thing that could have happened to them? Yeah, because they were innocent children. What do we know happens to innocent children that die? Why, they don't get to go to heaven. Boy, what a horrible thing. They got to go to heaven. Poor kids. Now, what would have happened if those innocent children had grown up in households full of people who worshiped idols and did all sorts of abominable things that God was going to punish? Then what's going to happen to those little children? They're going to grow up, they're not going to be innocent anymore, are they? They're going to become sinners like their parents. They're going to worship false gods like their rest in their nation did. And then when the end of time comes, oh, they're going to die at some point. And then what? When they go before God at judgment, He's going to have to cast them into the lake of fire. Now you tell me, which is more fair? Let those poor little innocent children die? Or let them grow up to be idol worshippers? Now that doesn't mean that we go out and start killing off all those innocent children. Oh yeah, we go kill all the little children and that'll save them. I think some people try to justify abortion by saying that, well, the children, it doesn't make it right for that. Now, this was a certain situation where God said, this is what we're going to do. God said that was fair. God said that was right and just. In fact, it was gracious and merciful to the little children in that situation. What about that tower that fell on those folks? Was that fair? How come that happened to them and it didn't happen to... Why those people? We say that all the time. You know, somebody, a car wreck or some sort of... You know, we say, why them? We realize that life's not always fair, but it is impartial. Now we can do things that help protect us. We can wear a seatbelt. We can drive a car that has airbags. That helps. But it doesn't always save us. We can do wise things to help limit the dangers, but the dangers are there. And this world is built on laws of nature that are impartial, and we talked about that this morning. And it's fair that all of us live in the same world with the same rules. We all have, statistically speaking, the same chance of being killed in a car wreck as everyone else. We all, statistically speaking, have the same chances of dying in all, any manner of way. Statistically, it's the same chance. Now, there are certain things, I know Ron works in the insurance business, so he knows there are certain things where the statistics are skewed for one group. You're a cigarette smoker, your chance of dying of lung cancer just went way up from the fellow that never smoked any cigarettes. Now, you work around asbestos, well, your chances of lung cancer just went way up from what, so there are some things that do increase our risk. But we do live in a world with the same rules and the same laws that apply to all of us. I said, well, what about other things? Jesus found a man that was filled with a legion of demons. And he took those demons out of the man and he put them into the pigs over there on the hillside. And the pigs all ran off the side of the hill and drowned in the water. Now, somebody owned those pigs. And somebody lost a heap of money on all those pigs that drowned in the water. Was that fair? Jesus thought it was fair. Because Jesus asked the question one time of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Now, a sheep was a clean animal, and a sheep was valuable because it could be sacrificed to God. Pig wasn't even valuable because I know as Gentiles we would eat the pig, as far as from a religious standpoint of being right with God, the pig was useless, had no purpose. How much more value then is a man than a pig? Despite those women who think men are pigs, assuming that a man is a man, not a pig. How much more value is a man than a pig? Oh, much more. What did Jesus say? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He knew that man that had that legion of demons, didn't he? He had a soul. And that soul in that man was of way more value than that whole herd of pigs. But you see, sometimes we don't think like Jesus. We think, well, how could he have done that? He all those pigs. And that man lost all that money on those pigs. Now, we can understand why the people who owned the pigs were upset at Jesus. We understand why they were upset. They had lost their livelihood there. They'd lost a good deal of their money. But it's just money. They're just pigs. You can get some more pigs. You can make some more money. But here's a man who was living naked in a graveyard, cutting himself and terrorizing everybody that came. Can you imagine that? Going to have the funeral and hear this naked, crazy guy come screaming out of the tombs at you and you tried to have a funeral? And terrorizing everybody. That's what this guy was doing. And Jesus actually turned that situation into a man who was in his right mind and who was able to think and go back home to his family and to his friends. And he worried about a few pigs. See, we've got to change the way we think. We think about everything in terms of dollars and cents a lot of times. We think about everything based on this physical world, and we think death is the worst thing that can happen. And we talked about, when we were talking about those little children, innocent little children that, see, we think death is the worst thing there is. We have got to refocus our minds and think like God thinks. God knows, well, yes, death is an enemy. The Bible teaches us death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15. But death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. There's something much worse. And that is to die without Christ. So while we worry about whether it's fair for a man to get paid more than a woman for doing the same job, or while we worry about whether it's fair to pay a certain wage, you know, we get minimum wage, but we worry about all of those things. And while we worry about all of that, every day there are people dying without the gospel. Is that fair? Is it fair for us to be concerned about all of these trivial? Now I know when you need to buy something at the grocery store that you say, well, money's not very true. I need that. But we worry. Let's be honest about it. If we all starved to death, that's not the worst thing that could happen to us. If we were all tortured to death, that's not the worst thing that could happen to us. If our wives and children were raped and murdered, that's not the worst thing that could happen to us. You see, we've got to think the way God thinks. Are those horrible things? Yes. Do we pray to God that those things never happen to us? Yes. But those are not the worst things that can happen. The worst thing that can happen to us is suffering for eternity in hell. And that's the worst thing that can happen to any person. And if we worry about everything else, and we don't have a concern for lost souls, that's not fair. It's not fair for us. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to God. Because God knows that a soul, one soul, there are six, I guess it's over seven now, 7 billion souls on this earth. The vast majority, and when I say vast majority, I mean like 99.9%. That's a vast majority. Less than 0.1% of that vast population of 7 billion souls are members of the Lord's church. How much are all those souls worth? If one soul is worth more than all the world, how much are all those souls worth? Next time something happens to us and we are tempted to say, well, that's not fair, we need to think about fair. What's fair? We've talked about it before. What would have been fair would have been for God to let us die in our sins. Is God fair? No, not really. When it comes right down to it, while God is a God of justice and fairness, much more He's a God of mercy. Because what was fair was for us to just suffer for our sins. But He provided a way of escape. We need to appreciate that and appreciate it enough to share it with others. Because that's only fair. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.